This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Today's show is sponsored by Acura.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura.
And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet.
Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own.
Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Airbnb.
I just got invited to the first wedding of the summer.
Yeah.
Happens to be a gay wedding.
Nice.
Very excited to attend.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay. Second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Thursday, November 12th.
Nick, Thursday is the new Friday. That's why I'm wearing my slamming salmon today.
Snackers, are you doing? I knew it was going to come out on a Thursday. This is a good day to do it.
Snackers, stocks barely budged, and this happens to be the best one yet.
Yeah, so what are we going to do? Slamming salmon, Jack. First story, what are you thinking?
Lyft just reported earnings, but we've just got to say what we've been thinking at Snacks Daily for weeks.
Jack, I'm just going to say it. Lyft has done nothing this year. All right, now I'm done.
For our second story, Apple has one more thing to say. So it hosted an event yesterday called One More Thing.
Hey, creative team over there. They're talking vertical integration. We're thinking horizontal domination.
For our third and final story, we're hitting our unicorn of the day, which is Hopin, which is the Zoom for live events.
We're wondering if Hopin can replace your convention center.
But Snackers, let me rewind us to December 31st, 2019. Beep. Nick and I placed on this pod our three bold business wishes for the coming year.
Yep, and Jack, first one, a Chipotle with no tables.
Guess what Chipotle announced yesterday?
Jack, a Chipotle with no tables.
That's right. Chipotle has its first ever location with no dining room, no chairs, no loitering.
No.
But exactly what we predicted last year.
Jack, I'm looking around this thing. I can't even see one of those little napkin dispensers, you know, that traps your fingers. They're the worst. You can only get one napkin, yeah.
You always end up getting either none or way more than you want.
You're walking around, you're like, a hand still. It's stuck on my hand. I'm going to need help.
So let's talk more about Chipotle's first ever digital-only Chipotle location.
That's right. You have to order from the app. No excuses, Timmy. You got to do an app order.
And since there's no tables, it's for pickup or delivery only. That is the only purpose burritos are getting rolled there.
Now, here's what Jack and I thought was fascinating about this. The strategic location is near West Point, New York.
I watched a football game at Mitchie Stadium at West Point once, loved it, but I assumed this was a typo. Like, that can't be where the first digital-only Chipotle is.
Jack, I did a lacrosse camp there once. If you want to get up to West Point, you take the one train to the Bronx, last stop, and then you have to walk for 4 days.
It is way past the one train, Nick.
Very past the one train. Now, the reason behind this, apparently, Snackers, Chipotle noticed that Army cadets at West Point are a captive audience, and they're crushing carne asada delivery all the week.
The students at the U.S. Military Academy are doing 3,000 push-ups. They require 3,000 calories of queso.
Jack, when it comes to this Chipotle without a single table, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in Burritoville?
Even if this new Chipotle ends up cutting costs like we think it might,
guac is still extra.
Let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA/SIPC.
For our first story, Lyft just announced earnings and the stock actually rose, Jack. The stock actually rose.
But sadly, we have to remind you, Snackers, Lyft has done nothing in 2020.
Lyft, where have you been? What have you been up to? We haven't covered you since, Hands Across America.
Okay, before we continue ratting on Lyft here, Nick, we should cover their earnings that they announced yesterday.
We should. This would be the fair thing to do. So Jack and I jumped in Snackstown. We got excited. We're like, Lyft's got something for us here. What did we see, Jack? What did we see?
The number of riders that used Lyft last quarter rose from the previous quarter.
Okay.
But we're still down 50% from like the normal days of 2019 when there was no pandemic.
Less okay. And that's why Lyft Snackers lost a cool $460 million last quarter. You know, $500 million in 3 months gone.
But then Lyft announced that they're going to be profitable.
Okay.
By the end of next year. Which sounds good.
We're talking profit. We're talking adjusted profit on this one.
Probably adjusted profitable if I had to guess. And remember, Snackers, I'm technically an adjusted billionaire.
And this podcast is an adjusted dinosaur movie.
You should tell your children, if you adjust, you can become anything, little Timmy.
It's a beautiful thing. Timmy does say that frequently.
But here's the reality. Lyft hasn't done anything since the pandemic started in March.
Jack couldn't have said it more succinctly. We are almost done 2020, by the way. Lyft? Still only worth one Lyft.
It's still only worth a Lyft. Like, what's going on?
All right, so we got to be extra fair here to Lyft. We've only been one level of fair. So Jack and I are going to whip out the old Uber-Lyft comparison scorecard, like an A-B testing kind of thing that these tech companies love.
All right, let's start with Uber. They have actually a lot of highlights since March, kicking it off with growing Uber Eats.
Okay.
To the point that Uber Eats is now bigger than the original Uber ride-hailing business.
Boom. Point number two. Apparently, Uber Eats got so big, they acquired one of their competitors, Postmates, just a couple months ago.
And then they're like, food and humans isn't enough to deliver. Let's deliver anything. So they launched Uber Direct recently.
But then they said, you know what? We're tired of like chicken parms and humans. Let's scale Uber Freight and bet big on Uber Freight.
Uber Freight is now worth $3.3 billion, which is almost half of what Lyft is worth.
Incredibly awkward. Oh, and then they said, we're going to announce one more thing. We got one more thing for you. Uber Elevate.
Helicopter rideshare. Come on.
And then they said, you know, actually, wait a second. We got one more thing. Yesterday, Uber announced Uber Reserve.
I hear like the executive, like banker crowd is really excited about being able to reserve an Uber.
This one's big. You can book an Uber 30 days in advance and select your favorite driver as of yesterday. Boom. 5-star Frank at 4 p.m. next Friday.
Now, that is impressive. And that's just the last 6 months since the pandemic start. Bravo, Uber.
Somewhere in Uberland, a product manager just got a bonus.
All right, now let's look at the crosstown San Francisco rival of Uber, Lyft, which is still pretty much just a rides company.
Yeah, and they're not even like doing like chicken parm delivery. They're just doing human delivery stuff.
Now, to be extra fair, Lyft did pilot a grocery and medication delivery service during the pandemic, but you haven't even heard about it.
I mean, a pilot is just texting someone. That's not a date. That's not a relationship. And that's not a future wedding. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Lyft?
Lyft has failed in 2020, and its stock price proves it.
Snackers, stock ticker don't lie.
Uber stock is up 51% so far in 2020.
Near all-time highs.
Lyft stock is down 16% in 2020.
Near all-time lows.
Even when Lyft stock has jumped on certain days this year, it wasn't because of anything that Lyft did.
Jack, I know what you're thinking. It jumped after Proposition 22 got passed, and it jumped after the vaccination news from Pfizer just a few days ago.
Lyft's biggest wins of 2020 were not Lyft related.
No, in fact, a whole bunch of other stocks rose when those two announcements happened.
Because of how well Uber is doing, you got no excuse for Lyft doing nothing in 2020.
For our second story, Apple just had another big product event focused on MacBooks.
They talked about vertical integration at the Apple event, but it makes us notice Apple's horizontal domination.
Yes, it does. Now, they named this event, because they're cheeky over at Apple, One More Thing.
That's a tribute to Steve Jobs, who like announced the iPhone as like a PS to one of its product unveils in like 2004.
An adorable honoring of Steve Jobs. However, this was also the consolation game of like events for Apple.
It's the smallest of Apple's three big product events this fall.
Yeah, they're announcing new MacBooks. There's no cool hologram logo.
In September, we got new Apple Watches. We got Apple Fitness Plus, the new app. And we got a bunch of Apple service bundles, which was actually really disappointing.
Jack, fantastic. Sign me up. You're going to call your parents and tell them what just happened when you hear that event.
In October, we got the showstopper, the new iPhone 12. Full disclosure, this guy's getting a mini.
So Jack, is that mini new iPhone coming on the new Peloton you got ordered too?
Dude, I have had some product humble brags.
It's true. Christmas come early over at the Kramer household.
And then in November, we get this new event, the One More Thing event, with a MacBook Air that's,
wait for it,
even thinner.
Yeah, I've cut MacBooks so thin, Nick, I couldn't even see it.
Now, the other highlight of the event was they actually brought back John Hodgman. Great guy.
Yeah, remember the guy who acted like a PC that was like really lame and hard to work with in those famous Apple ads?
Did the tweed jacket, the three-piece suit, the whole thing. Great guy.
Great guy. They brought him back. Now, we are glad that you didn't watch the event because, let's be honest, you didn't.
You didn't, and we're glad you didn't because the updates were invisible. Invisible.
Yeah. Apple didn't change the clothes. They changed the brain within one of its products.
Yeah. Instead of Intel's computer processing chips, get this. Oh my God. They made their own. It's called M1.
Right. So we saw a bunch of new Apple MacBooks. They look pretty much the same as the old MacBooks. They just had their Apple chip in there.
And Intel, who used to make these chips for Apple, they're losing Apple as a big buyer. Now Apple's going to make its own chips, basically.
This is bad news for Intel. But this is also a big sign of Apple's increasingly vertical integration.
Yeah, Apple is owning way more parts of the supply chain than it used to.
It's a long supply chain that Apple's working with, from like mining copper in some faraway country to assembling the iPhone, also in a faraway country, to selling the iPhone in a store, probably right down the block from you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, not all of this is done by Apple, the supply chain, but more of it is now done by Apple than it ever has
been. Right. MacBooks are now not just designed by Apple in Cupertino, California. They're also made using an Apple-produced brain, the M1 chip.
Boom. Vertical integration gives you a benefit if you're a MacBooker of more native applications, like on your iPhone.
And for Apple shareholders, you just cut out a middleman, Apple did, which could mean more profits for Apple.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Apple?
What's more impressive than this vertical integration stuff is Apple's horizontal moves.
Snackers, until 2007, Apple was called Apple Computers. Never forget it.
Now, despite dropping computers from the name, they're just Apple Inc. now, Apple still, until recently, has just been essentially a computer company.
iPhone, iPad, MacBook, they're all basically different sized computers. They're essentially siblings, different clothes, same house.
But in the last few years, Apple has realized they have one incredible advantage, and they can stretch that advantage really wide.
Jack, any product they make will be perfectly compatible with iPhone.
That is an incredible advantage because iPhone is essentially an organ.
Beautiful.
It's an involuntary muscle that's always running for everybody in Club Apple.
This is an aggressive analogy. Now today, Apple is way beyond computers.
Visa is everywhere you want to be. Apple is everywhere. There's a native advantage because of iPhone integration.
Yeah, you're right. Fitness Plus app, Apple Music, Apple News, Apple TV Plus streaming, you name it.
The watch, the speakers, even video games and the Apple TV dongle and credit cards. It's all Apple iPhone advantage.
Apple went vertical today, but it's a $2 trillion company because of its horizontal moves. For our third and final story, Hopin is trying to be your virtual venue for live online events.
It just got $125 million of VC money and is now worth $2 billion, which is like a fourth of a Lyft.
Okay, that is an accomplishment. Bigger accomplishment here. Congrats on the URL, Hopin.
Hopin.to. Think about it. Hop into.
First time a company name has become a verb and a preposition.
And a preposition. Now, Hopin was founded by someone who loved in-person networking, but couldn't do it anymore.
It's a sad but inspiring story. Jack and I jumped in snack style. Founder's name is Johnny Befarit. He's a Brit who had, unfortunately, a severe reaction to a medication badly weakened his immune system.
Right. So for Johnny, shelter in place has been a reality for the last 5 years.
That's what he's living with. And so he started Hopin to solve a problem that at the time only was existing for him. He wanted to fix this for himself.
That problem is the inability to network in person with others at physical events.
So Johnny finally launched Hopin back in January 2019, 14 months before the pandemic made Hopin a verb and a preposition simultaneously.
In the last 9 months, the growth of Hopin is unlike anything I've ever seen from any company we've ever reported on.
This is true. Jack is bursting out of that slamming salmon. Jack's face is turning slamming salmon right now.
Hopin's users went from 5,000 to 3.5 million. I don't even know what that is in percentage terms.
Jack, the number of companies using Hopin has jumped from 2,000 to 50,000 in that same period of time.
Nick, it went from zero revenue to 20 million annual recurring revenue, which is growth of infinity percent.
Jack, that is a billion lifts.
And it is profitable, just like Zoom was before its IPO.
So here's what Jack and I found fascinating about Hopin. You've done the virtual meeting, Snackers. You've done the virtual cocktail parties. You've done the virtual graduation. You may have even done the virtual bachelorette.
So you might be thinking, how is Hopin different than Zoom? They literally have a frequently asked question on their website.
That's like the main thing people ask when they go to Hopin. Kind of hilarious.
Now, Hopin is like a Zoom video conference, but it's designed for more like a concert or a conference, not a weekly audit meeting like Zoom.
No, so Jack and I jumped in snack style. We actually used Hopin recently. So we were excited when this fundraise happened that we could share more on the story.
Buddy of ours launched a book, but before he spoke about the book, there was a randomized networking session where you get bumped into people and have to have a live video conversation with them like in a real networking thing.
Do this on Hopin. We know what you're thinking. How do you get out of the conversations that you're tired of when it's a virtual event, when you can't just say, I have to go to the bathroom, or they're almost out of the chicken satay?
You can actually still say you have to go to the bathroom. Like, that's still a physical thing.
We think you're probably going to go with Wi-Fi is not working.
There you go. And if the conversation actually goes well, they give on Hopin everyone a virtual business card that you can exchange. You can be like, can I have your business card? And they'll push a button and you'll exchange digits.
Now, Jack and I also once presented at an event where we got to use Hopin, where the keynote speaker presentations got a live feed with comments and questions going on. That actually was user helpful.
You can have a survey there. It's really good. It's hard to describe, but it's really good.
I love that you set that one on, Jack. We had a whole bunch of examples, but we really focused on the survey one. We did love the survey one. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Hopin?
Hopin has plans to become a social network. Zoom doesn't.
Yeah, Snacker Zoom, it's where you're meeting, connecting, sharing, complaining, celebrating more these days.
The one flaw with Zoom bar mitzvahs suck.
It does. Zoom requires a pre-planned, orchestrated, proactive, unspontaneous engagement that's actually kind of anti-social network.
Hopin has a differentiator that you don't notice at first, but they have an Explore tab that just launched.
New feature, Hopin Explore. They've got 15,000 monthly events going on the Hopin platform onto which you can hop in.
Just like when you're bored and checking out Instagram, you might click the Explore tab. Hopin is the same thing. You can browse and then hop into an event.
Jack, you want to do the wellness immersion together over in the Yucatan, but virtually you from Vermont, me from California?
I'd rather check out the Texas A&M pep rally that's going down at Hopin.
And Jack, maybe because you and I don't know anything about coding, we could join the TechCrunch hackathon and just watch and see what these things actually are.
It's a spectator sport. If Hopin can develop this Explore feature, then it can become the social network that Zoom isn't.
It's basically event Bright meet Zoom, which could be a problem in the future for Zoom. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Uber has done a lot since the pandemic started.
Honestly, Lyft, you've done pretty much nothing, and your stock reflects that. We're speaking second person here.
Yeah, we could say that. For a second start, Apple is doing its own chips now. It took over one cog of the vertical supply chain of computers.
But it's a $2 trillion company because of its iPhone-connected horizontal dominance.
For our third and final story, Hopin is now worth $2 billion as events and conferences move digital.
We're talking a unicorn of the day that could become a social network thanks to Explore. Now, time for our snack fact of the day. This one tweeted in by Dan, a great snacker. I think this is his second snack fact, Jack.
This is good, clean family fun from our buddy Dan.
Lovely Boulder, Colorado.
A new study shows that half of U.S. Netflix users share their password with someone else.
Jack, it means one of us is on three. Ready? One, two, guilty.
For sure. Now, half of those Netflix password shares, so now a quarter of Netflix users, I guess, based on math, they share their password with someone outside of their immediate family.
Another study has found that the number one streamer with the most rampant password sharing is Disney Plus.
Yeah, so I guess more than half of Disney Plus users share their password.
True.
And that is the streamer with the most people watching and not paying for it.
Kind of makes sense though, since almost 2/3 of Disney Plus users are too young to legally work.
They can't even read a credit card number.
Snackers, you looked fantastic on the new Friday. Jack, I love the Slammin' Salmon.
Thank you, Nick. I do my best. Snackers, we'd love if you could hit up some HYHYSD with your buddies.
You know, tell your buddies, have you had your snacks daily? Easy question.
That's it. And we grow. We all win.
If you know, you know. And before we go, big congrats to Snackers Jake Evans and Valeria Santiago, just got engaged over in Des Moines, Iowa.
And Remy and Edna just moved into a new home in San Jose, California.
And Jackie graduating down in Bogota, Colombia.
Happy birthday to Blake DeMoss in Kansas City, Kansas?
Actually, I'm not sure if it's Missouri or Kansas.
We're about to get a lot of tweets. And happy birthday to Lucas Portella in Sausalito.
And Shannon Irish in Harlem, New York.
And Ramon Gordon in Queens.
And Lauren Brown at Thayer Street, Providence, Rhode Island.
Nice slicer Anthony's, let us know, Lauren.
And Adi Taraski in Cleveland, Ohio.
Paris on the Lake. And Bart Hardwick in Santa Barbara, California.
And Remington Safferpour in Chicago.
Does sales, not logistics, but also does logistics.
And Zach Moore, happy birthday in Boston.
And Dylan Reb in Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
And Bruce Light in Arlington, Virginia.
And Riley Devine in Warrenville, Illinois.
This is Jack. Nick on stock of Apple and Chipotle.
The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Nick and Jack here. Want to quickly tell you about the show Business Wars.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman.
From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world.
Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more, Wondery means business.